Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to dive into some NBA talk, and to help us do that, we bring in Jeff Zilgut from USA Today. Jeff, thanks for taking time to join us today, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, Robbie and Joe. Hope you guys are doing well.
Hope you are as well. And obviously, Jeff, over the weekend, a game of huge local interest here in Nashville with the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Portland Trail Blazers. Obviously, Blazers get the big win in that game, and the Grizz fall short. But what did you make of the Grizz and their effort in the bubble, and also their future as they move forward with Ja Morant?
Well, look, I think if they have Jaren Jackson Jr. for the final five seeding games, that they do make the playoffs. And they possibly, even if they, you know, have the play-in game against Portland, possibly even with Jaren Jackson in that game, they win. And so I was pleased with a couple of things if you're a Grizzlies fan. That one, when they were down 30-14 in the first quarter, they just didn't crumble against a Portland team that was rolling with Damian Lillard. They're getting some healthy guys back, Jusuf Nurkić, Zach Collins, and obviously C.J. McCollum's a pretty solid guard as well. And then you start to look at this team for the future. Look, I don't know if anyone thought that the Grizzlies would be in this position with Taylor Jenkins, first-year coach, taking this team to where he did. Now you have Ja Morant, who is my rookie of the year, and I think he'll win the award here soon when it's announced. You have Brandon Clark, and then you have a roster, and I mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr., and then you have a guy like Dylan Brooks, who I think really came into his own in this bubble as well. And so you start to look at the trajectory of this team, and you look at maybe where Taylor Jenkins has been and where player development has always been a key. You know, he coached under Mike Budenholzer. And you just look at what Budenholzer has done with a couple of teams. Now, I know people will say, well, you know, Mike Budenholzer had the Atlanta Hawks, best record in the NBA 1 year. He has the Milwaukee Bucks, and he, you know, does not have a finals appearance to show for it. I would just say that most of the time that he ran into the best player in the world during that era, LeBron James, and his Milwaukee Bucks teams are on the verge right now. And the sort of capstone of all this, of a Mike Budenholzer-type squad and now Taylor Jenkins, is player development and putting guys in the right position, having a plan for them, getting them to play together for each other. And that's why I'm really bullish on this team. And I'm saying that considering, man, the Western Conference is super, super deep when you start to take a look around at teams with all the talent in the West. And that's something we've seen, you know, sort of cycle through over the past couple of decades, the West being much deeper. But we're starting to see it come through again right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jeff. I'm bullish on what Memphis could be. And still, with all that you just talked about, like, look at the playoff picture next year. I mean, it won't be easy. I look at them. I think Dylan Brooks had some great moments in the bubble. I also sometimes think, you know, Dylan Brooks in a little bit reduced, maybe six-man kind of role might suit him better. And if they could find that dynamite wing that I know Memphis has been looking for a long time, going back to the last group of players, you know, core that had them really competitive. What do you think's realistic for them in terms of free agency and luring someone to come play with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson and really giving them a bump up?
So So, look, first of all, let's just start off with this year's free agent class is not very good. And that's no slight. I mean, it just doesn't have the name in star power as, you know, a Kevin Durant or a Kyrie Irving being a free agent or anything like that, or, you know, Jimmy Butler. And also, you know, this is just going to be such an anomaly of a free agent year. It's going to come quick right after the season. And, you know, the next season is going to start relatively soon. Now, we don't have a date on it. Now, in the big picture, I always find it's really difficult, and this is tough for teams in these markets to sort of deal with, is, you know, Milwaukee, they drafted Giannis Antetokounmpo. Cleveland got LeBron James, one, in a draft, and two, he came back by the very nature of that's where he's from. And so, you know, you have to maybe look at more of a team, and Joe knows this, is a Detroit Pistons of that sort of 2000s era where, yeah, they had some really good players. I don't know who was a Hall of Famer among Richard Hamilton and Chauncey Billups and Steve Wallace and Ben Wallace. Those are the kinds of things and players that you're going to need in Memphis. I have a hard time seeing like a super, super big name free agent coming. But with that said, when you do have the pieces like Ja Morant and a Jaren Jackson Jr., can you start to look at a guy who's an all-star in the vein of a Chris Middleton, who is a great two-way player, can give you buckets on the offensive end, knows how to play defense, and I think that's the model Grizzlies are going to have to follow to get that sort of dynamic wing that you're talking about right there. It might not be the big name or flashy name, but it's certainly someone who is an all-star. Look, at the All-Star game, Chris Middleton's there. At his podium, it's usually the fewest people. But by no means does that indicate, you know, that the fewest people talking to him, but by no means does it indicate, you know, that he's not an all-star. And so I think that's the route that Memphis would have to take.
Jeff Zilgert from USA Today on the line with us. And, Jeff, we've talked about Damian Lillard. When he's cooking like he's cooking right now and he's at the top of his game, how many players in the league can do what he does?
There's not many scorers like that. You know, I think Kevin Durant, when he gets going like that, and Kevin makes it look so effortlessly, you know, he's in that category right there. I think sometimes, you know, you get, and he doesn't happen as often, but another guard who can do that and get buckets like that is Kyrie Irving when he gets going. I don't think Kyrie has quite the range that Damian Lillard does, but I've seen Kyrie, you know, pour it on. In short spurts. And even, you know, I think earlier this year, season opener, Kyrie put up a 50-point game for Brooklyn. And so he has that ability. But Damian seems to also be able to do it at such a sustained level, game after game. And I think in that first half, you guys are watching, you know, Damian didn't shoot the ball particularly well. And they sort of relied on Jusuf Nurkić to create points, more so than their guards. And then in the second half, you just see him start to light it up. And then he gets, you know, you get those buckets in a short span. And so those are just a couple names that I see right now in the league who can do it like that. And there doesn't seem to be much that the opposing team can do. Look, when you're pulling up from that logo, I know it extends just a little bit beyond half court. But when you're pulling up from that, I mean, that's almost a you can't defend that. I mean, there's really no reason to guard a guy 40 feet from the basket like that, and Damian has the speed, if you decide to do that, to blow by him. And so he's playing, you know, I don't know if he's an underrated superstar. I think people inside the league know what he can do, but I think during this bubble action, he's certainly shown that you know, he's maybe a little bit more of an all-NBA player than people gave him credit for.
Yeah, and then, you know, Carmelo can hit a corner three when you need a big shot, and then you can just ISO CJ McCollum and let him, you know, take over late in a game like that. Am I crazy, Jeff, to think that they could at least make this fun with the Lakers?
I think so. My biggest concern with them right now is how exhausted they are. And, you know, I'm going to borrow this from a Twitter user. I can't remember whose name it is right now, so I apologize out there to the Twitter sphere. But, you know, while Damian Lillard makes offense look effortlessly, he almost is effortlessly sometimes on defense. And that's a little bit of my concern with Portland. I mean, both those teams were in the high 80s, if not 90s. Was it 90, 86 end of the third quarter?
So
Portland doesn't play a lot of defense. I'm a little concerned with their depth. The Lakers have had their struggles inside the bubble, and so that's a little bit of my concern. So to get to your point, Joe, I think that they can make it fun and entertaining. I'm not sure that this is a series they can win. I know lots of people are thinking, and look, this is not a traditional 1-8 matchup. I'll say that. With Zach Collins and Yosef Nurkic back healthy, you know, don't forget, Portland made the conference finals last year, and they played without those two players for most of the year. And so I understand why they were not higher seed during the regular season. So it's not normal. I think it's more like a 1-5 kind of matchup, a 1-4 matchup. But, again, being gassed like they are, and the Lakers playing for the big picture, again, they're going to have to get into it fast, the Lakers. And they had some horrible offense in the bubble, shooting-wise, points per possession, three-point shooting, free throw percentage. Anthony Davis was uneven. And so they have some work to do, and they would probably have preferred a much easier opponent than coming in against an all-NBA player like Damian Lillard. Again, for all the reasons I'm trying to lay out, I just don't see Portland winning the series. But making it entertaining and fun, I can certainly see that, even if it's a five-game series. I've always felt that some five-game series, can be very entertaining with the right two teams.
Jeff, I want to ask you quickly about Kawhi Leonard, because you watch him play offensively, and he's a great player, but he doesn't really do anything to blow you away. But I think the Clippers have a great chance to win the championship this year. And if he wins a championship, his third championship with three different teams, and wins a finals MVP again, how does that affect where we start to talk about Kawhi Leonard in terms of the all-time greats of the game?
Yeah, it's really difficult because I think his personality contributes to the fact that, look, I know he's got the New Balance deal and everything, but we don't see him in lots of ads. I don't want to say he's not friendly with the media, but he certainly doesn't make himself available like some players do. And so I think our evaluation of him is a little skewed, but when you're adding up the things that we're talking about, does that make him ultimately by the end of his career a top 10 player all time? I mean, that's the territory that he's approaching. And when you talk about his offense, there's another guy who, he doesn't do anything flashy, but it's just real fundamentally sound and very difficult to stop. He knows how to get to a spot on the offensive end of the floor. And his defense, I mean, he's been a defensive stopper for his entire career. And I do like the Clippers a lot. Now, my only big concern about them is they have not had a ton of time together. Montrezl Harrell is still not back inside the bubble mourning his grandmother's death, and the Clippers said they don't know when he's going to be back. And the way they managed this team this year, trying to give players both rest and develop continuity, was a fine line. And now that we have just this awkwardness of almost a new season, that's my concern with the Clippers. But your points on Kawhi are spot on.
So, Jeff Quickie, what's your favorite series of the first round? What are the one you're most interested in watching?
Houston, Oklahoma City pops up to me. That obviously the Portland Lakers one for the Damian factor. Philadelphia and Boston is another one that shoots up on my radar. And then the 4-5 or maybe it's the 3-6 with the Rocky Mountain special between Utah and Denver should be another one. Those are the ones that I'm really interested in. But that Houston-OKC one, OKC's been really solid with Billy Donovan all season long, and that's why he's getting a lot of mention for Coach of the Year.
Jeff Zilgut from USA Today has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Jeff, thanks for joining us, man, as always. We really appreciate it.
Hey, you guys take care, Robbie Joe.
Right, absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. When we come back, we'll dive into the Grizzlies a little bit, recap their loss to Portland, what it means for them moving forward, and also look ahead at some NBA first-round playoff action as well. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.